there's a lot of different teachings about the Lord's Supper and communion and things like that. And I just want to take a little bit of time and teach on it just to make sure you understand what we're doing and what's going on and why we do it the way we do it. Before we do that, this morning, Brother Ralph and Mary Lou came wanting to join our church and become members of our church, and I'm thrilled about that. And I got so wrapped up in see people getting saved and people getting baptized this morning that I overlooked it. But Ralph and Mary Lou, we're thrilled that you want to come to join our church. They wrote out their testimony, and they were both baptized at Anchor Baptist Church under Brother Dye. What a testimony that is. And we're honored to have you to come and be part of our church. And so thank you for writing out that testimony. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. A little bit of instruction on the Lord's Supper. And then I want to teach just a little bit about Jesus Christ as our high priest. What did he do as our high priest? Why is that so important? And I think we'll spend a little bit of time on that. And I just want you to get a better understanding of the Lord's Supper and what's going on there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 16, the Bible says this: "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Communion means close fellowship. Communion is a picture of becoming one with Jesus Christ. There's several pictures that we observe as Christians, and there are two big ones: baptism being a picture of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper also a picture of Christ's suffering. There's some instructions about the Lord's Supper. So you're in Corinthians. Look at chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, and we'll read through verse 32. But here's the instructions on observing the Lord's Supper. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, a church very much like ours, a New Testament church that Jesus is the head, and we serve him, the body of Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." We've got some instructions on taking the Lord's Supper. We're supposed to take this bread, this unleavened bread, and we're supposed to eat it. And the Bible says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Jesus said that. He didn't say exactly how often to do it, but he said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. He said, do it with the bread. Do it with the juice. And he used the word drink in this case, or the word cup. So here's what's happening. God made a way for sinful people to have eternal life. God sent his only begotten Son. Jesus paid the price for every sin when he died on the cross. Jesus gave his body as the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. Jesus shed his blood as the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. Before he went to the cross, Jesus gave his disciples some pictures to help them to remember what he was about to do for them. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We had a young man baptized this morning and another young man baptized this evening. The picture of baptism is a picture of somebody dying, being buried, and coming back up out of the ground. And we do it that way. This is the way Jesus was baptized. The Bible says he went into the water, and when he came up out of the water, is scripturally being baptized. And we see other people being baptized the same way through the book of Acts. The Lord's Supper is also a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus, and it's a picture of the closeness of fellowship we have with him as believers. So it's a picture. We need to understand this. The Lord's Supper, just like baptism, does not do anything to save us. It does not do anything to forgive our sins. It's a picture of what Jesus already did when he died on the cross and he shed his blood. He did that to pay the price for our sins. Taking the Lord's Supper is not being saved. Taking the Lord's Supper is a picture of what Jesus did to save us. Here's a few things that the Lord's Supper is not. It is not the actual body and blood of Jesus. Some churches teach that the bread, the unleavened bread that we have here or that they would use in their ceremony actually becomes the blood, I'm sorry, the bread becomes the body of Jesus Christ. They teach that the juice actually becomes the blood of Jesus Christ. And I can see how they would come up with that if they were just to take some of the verses of the Bible and not take everything into context. Because Jesus said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. But it's not. It is a picture. It is a symbol. I'll read some verses to you here in just a few moments from Hebrews. The Bible says Jesus took his blood and he offered his blood on the altar in heaven. He offered the last sacrifice ever needed. This is not the blood of Jesus. This is not the body of Jesus. This is a picture of it. It's a symbol of it. The Lord's Supper is not a sacrament. That means it doesn't do anything to save a person. There are different sacraments that churches will teach you that you've got to do to be saved. The Lord's Supper is not a sacrament. It doesn't save a person. The Lord's Supper does not pay for sins. The Lord's Supper is not the Passover. That's different. Now, the Lord's Supper, if you want to say it this way, replaces the Passover, but it is not the Passover. There were different guidelines for the Passover. The Passover looked forward in expectation to the sacrifice for sins, looking forward to Jesus coming to be the perfect sacrifice. The Lord's Supper looks backwards in remembrance of the sacrifice for sin. The Passover was initiated the night before the Israelites were freed from the bondage of Egypt. The Lord's Supper was initiated the night before the human race was freed from the bondage of sin. The Passover involved the killing and eating of a lamb and bitter herbs, and shedding that lamb's blood as a symbol of God sacrificing his son. The Lord's Supper involves the drinking of unfermented grape juice and eating unleavened bread as a symbol of Jesus giving himself as a sacrifice to be accepted by every man. Now, this is important. It is unleavened bread. Leaven is so often a picture of sin in the Bible, and the unleavened bread is a picture of a sinless body. It's not a sinless body. It's a picture of a sinless body. So many, whenever they will take what we'd call communion in so many different churches, denominations, whatever you want to call them, will drink wine. But the problem with that is that there's fermentation in wine. Just like leaven, fermentation is a picture of sin in bread, the fermentation in fermented wine is a picture of sin in that wine. Jesus lived a sinless life. He shed his sinless blood. So we don't drink wine, we drink unfermented grape juice. The fruit of the vine is what the Bible calls it in the New Testament. It's also called wine in the New Testament. But you've got to realize that the word wine was used for juice, as well as it could have been used either way for juice, but it's also used for strong drink sometimes in the Bible. It's used both ways. But whenever we're representing the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be very consistent. If we're not going to have leaven in the bread, we're not going to have fermentation in the juice, because that's a picture of sin. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to draw us close to our Savior and to remember his sacrifice on the cross. It's not to save us. It's to bring us together in remembrance. The Lord's Supper is a picture of sacrifice. Jesus really did willingly shed his blood for every sinful person who ever lived. We've got to get that. We've got to understand that. It was willingly. He wasn't arrested against his will and crucified against his will and his life taken from him against his will. It was according to his will. If you remember the night in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was having the conversation with his Father, and he said, "Father, if it's thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And Jesus willingly said, "God the Father, I will do whatever you want me to do." He willingly allowed himself to die. How many angels could he have called to take him off the cross? We sing the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. But let me submit to you that he didn't need to call one single angel. He could have come off the cross just all by himself. He created everything with just the word of his mouth. He could have done anything he wanted to escape that horrible death of the cross. But he chose to stay there and die for you and for me. The Lord's Supper is a picture of that sacrifice. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that we were, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What a thought. We used that verse this morning. While we were sinners, we weren't really that good. We weren't righteous. We were sinners. Christ died for us. When you drink the juice in the communion cup tonight, remember that Jesus shed his perfect blood to pay for your sins. The ushers will pass those out and we'll hold it in our hand. And as you hold it in your hand, remember, it's just juice, but it's a picture. It's to remember the blood that Jesus shed when he died on the cross. As you hold it in your hand, what a great time just to thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for shedding your blood, your perfect, sinless blood for me. And we'll have some time as the ushers are passing out the little cups with the juice in it, to reflect and to thank the Lord for that sacrifice. The Lord's Supper is a picture of close fellowship. It's a symbol of becoming one with Jesus Christ. So communion, a very strong word describing close fellowship, and communion is a picture of becoming one with Jesus Christ. As you take the juice, you drink it, and you take the bread and you eat it, this picture of becoming one with Christ. Salvation is the only thing that makes a person one with Christ. Communion is just a picture. You got to understand this. Eating the unleavened bread and drinking the unfermented juice doesn't make a person one with Christ. Galatians 2:20 tells us what makes us one with Christ. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Salvation is what makes us one with Christ. The Lord's Supper is just a picture of that. I'd like to take a minute, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews, if you would. Jesus came to be our high priest. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the priest would, Hebrews chapter 9, the priest would offer a sacrifice, and that sacrifice would be a looking forward to the one day the perfect sacrifice would come and pay the price for all sin. But then Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he became the final sacrifice. No other sacrifice ever would be needed. And I want you to see that in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, actually look at chapter 8. There's one verse, two verses there, then we'll go to chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to read several verses, not all of them, from chapters 8, 9, and 10. Because I want you to see, we sing about the blood of Christ. We sing about the body of Christ. And we have the Lord's Supper. It's not just something we go through because it's a tradition that we're supposed to do. It means something. And I want you to see that tonight. Hebrews chapter 8, look at verse 1. "Now of the things which we have spoken," this is the sum, "we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man." This is talking about Jesus. He is our high priest. He's set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Jesus is the minister of the sanctuary. Talking about the true tabernacle, not just the temple that was built on this earth, not just the tent that was built by Moses or the tabernacle, the temple built by Solomon or later by King Herod, but the temple in heaven. The Bible says that Moses saw, he made the temple, he made the tabernacle after the image of what he saw in heaven. We believe there is a temple in heaven and there is an altar there. And I want you to see a little bit more of this. Look at chapter 9. Look at verse 2. This is talking about the tabernacle, the the place where God met with man. Moses built this tabernacle. For there was a tabernacle, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2. There was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Talk about the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Once a year, a special sacrifice was made where the high priest would go in and he would take the blood of the sacrifice and offer that blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant where God would meet with man. But look at verse 11. First two words tell us the direction we're going, but Christ. We're talking about the high priest would do this sacrifice, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, look at this, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Why do we make such a big deal about the blood of Christ? Because Jesus Christ himself took his own blood, and he entered into that holy place in heaven and obtained eternal redemption for us by offering his own blood. He was the sacrifice, but he was also the high priest offering his own blood. Look at chapter 9 now, verse number 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He didn't just go into the temple here on earth. When he went into the temple here on earth, he cast out the money changers and threw over the tables. But when he went into the temple in heaven, he went in offering himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Look at verse 28, chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Look at chapter 10 now, verse number 12. It's talking about Jesus. Actually, I want you to see 11 and 12. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, it's talking about Jesus Christ, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. One sacrifice. That's all that was needed. One sacrifice for sin forever. It's done. The sacrifice is done. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, is because sin had been paid for. The sacrifice was complete. He took his own blood and offered his own blood as the sacrifice for sins forever, and then sat down on the right hand of God. A couple more verses. Look at verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. What a great verse on assurance right there. One offering, one Savior, one time, he perfected forever. Forever. What a great promise, them that are sanctified. Verse 8. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. It's done. The offering for sin was complete. Jesus died on the cross as our sacrifice. And then as our high priest, he offered himself. He took himself, his own body, his own blood, and offered that on the mercy seat in heaven. And it's done. No more remembrance of sin. We can be saved. That's why this is such a big deal. We can be saved because Jesus Christ offered his own body and his own blood for our sins. Amen.